What do we pray for in the fifth petition? In the fifth petition, which is, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors," we pray that God, for Christ's sake, would freely pardon all our sins, which we are rather encouraged to ask, because by His grace we are enabled from the heart to forgive others.
Question 105. We are now on the fifth petition. The fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer. And here we come to the second of our needs, which is our forgiveness for sin. Our forgiveness for sin. This is an indispensable component to biblical prayer. Now, you can reflect on your own practice, and perhaps you have seen it in the practice of others as well. But often, prayer can be filled with all sorts of things, right? Prayer can be filled with a list of our temporal needs, so the fourth petition. And it may be filled with some things that pertain to God as well, His glory, His kingdom, His will. But it's not uncommon for this component to be absent, for people to fail to actually seek God for the forgiveness of their sins. And this is a problem. The reason it's a problem is because the best Christian is always sinning. And therefore, the best Christian should be always seeking pardon. We should be always seeking pardon. So this is a necessary part of prayer. As you come into the presence of God in prayer, you're coming consciously before the throne of God's grace. This should be something almost intuitive to the person who has gospel grace. God is holy. God is righteous. God is a pure eyes and behold iniquity. We're sinful. We know. We feel the angst, the pain of the sins that we commit. We know the things that we've said that we ought not to have, or perhaps not said that we should have. We know our actions, our attitudes, our ambitions. We know our thoughts. All of these things are a part of us. And so as we come into the conscious presence of God, we're made aware of our sin, right? This is Isaiah. He comes before the Lord. The angels are crying out, "Holy, holy, holy." And he says, "Woe unto me, for I am a man of unclean lips." He's made conscious of his sin. And so, because that's what prayer is, coming before the Lord, we're made conscious of our sin. What do we do with it when we're made conscious of it? We're to confess it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we're to be seeking the Lord's pardon, if you will. So one of the ways that the Bible describes sin is as a debt. Now, it describes it in a lot of other ways as well. But by contrast, forgiveness is the Lord's grace, right, in pardoning that debt. And you'll note how the Catechism accentuates the graciousness, if you will, of this forgiveness, because it is something that is free to us only because it was costly to Christ. You'll hear people say there's nothing free in this world. Well, in one sense, that's not true. The gospel is free to us. But in another sense, it is true. It wasn't free to Christ. It was something that was costly to him. So Christ stands as the substitute in the place of his people. The sins of his people are credited to his account, and then he has to bear up under that in atoning for them. He has to appease and satisfy the divine wrath of God. That wrath is poured out upon him. He has to shed his blood in order to cleanse us from our guilt and many other things. And so It's God giving to us again something that we don't deserve. It says that God, for Christ's sake, would freely pardon all our sins. So it's because when we ask for forgiveness, we're not saying, Lord, just look the other way. I've done some things that are wrong. We're not saying as well, Lord, forgive it because I deserve to be forgiven, because after all, I've done a few good things for your glory today. Neither of those things are the case. We're coming before the Lord and saying, look to your right hand. Look upon him who is the Lord, our righteousness, and grant that we would be found accepted in the beloved. We're saying, for Christ's sake, all that he has done in his person and work, for his sake, grant us freely the pardon and forgiveness of our many, many, many sins. Now, you'll note that there's a relationship here between. So some people would say, well, why do we need to ask for forgiveness? Right. Where we are justified. We know the doctrine of justification, covered it earlier in our catechism. And it's true that we're acceptable in him. Then but we also have sanctification, this ongoing work. So in terms of our legal status before the Lord, we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. This is a once for all definitive act that makes us acceptable before God. And the Lord has done great things for us. We still have the presence of sin as long as we're in this world. And that's part of what we're dealing with in sanctification. And this seeking the forgiveness of our sins is related to that. You can think of this as something that's legal, and this is something that is paternal. We're going to our Father who is in heaven and asking that he would pardon our sins. So we're legally righteous and forgiven in our justification. We have the presence of sin in us, and in this ongoing walk with the Lord, there's fellowship with him, and our sin can break fellowship and damage our soul in a number of ways. And so we're bringing that to him and saying, Lord, we're acknowledging it. We're confessing it. We're owning it. We're acknowledging all that you say about our sins. And we're seeking pardon in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is something that renews and restores the fellowship that we have with our Heavenly Father. Now, Jesus makes clear in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, where we find the Lord's Prayer, and in the Lord's Prayer itself, that there's a relationship between God forgiving us and us forgiving others. And that relationship is disproportionate. What do I mean by that? Well, we have God, and there's us. And we come to him with our sins. And let's say, you know, the amount that God has to forgive us, just for the sake of illustration, you know, might be 10 million times. There's like all sorts of things that the Lord is having to forgive us of. So here we are. And we're coming to the Lord and we're saying, Lord, forgive us for these 10 million things. But then we have a relationship with someone else, our brother. And by way of proportion, there's only 10 things. So this is what I mean by disproportionate here. We are required to forgive our brother, and it may be 70 times 7 in a day. But in terms of proportion, there's only, for every 10 things we're forgiving someone else for, God is having to forgive us for 10 million things. So there's this great contrast, if you will. And so we're saying, Lord, please forgive us as we forgive others. Jesus makes clear, if we don't forgive others, then we will not receive forgiveness ourselves, right? So Jesus says, no forgiveness to others will result in no forgiveness to us, to ourselves. It comes out in places like Matthew 18. So the gospel comes with power to the soul. We are melted by the condescending mercy that God has shown to us. And that changes us. And part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is that we are willing to forgive our brother. Our brother sins against us and we come to him. We who have received so much mercy from the Lord are willing to then extend mercy to others as the fruit of the gospel and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in us. We're willing to extend that mercy. And when we are reticent to forgive others, there's a problem. We have lost sight, if we're truly a Christian, of how much mercy God has shown to us. These two things are connected. A person who says, "I will never forgive you. I will never forgive that person." Well, then, you will never be forgiven yourself either. Right? The two things are connected. It's a fruit of whether there's grace in the soul or not grace in the soul. And it has to be traced back to the heart. And so as we look at the heart, as we look at where we find things in our heart, there's sometimes bad fruit, right? And bad fruit would include things like revenge, a vengeful spirit, and malice, and bitterness, and hatred. And we could go on if we had more space on the board. Now, those who are given habitually and unrepentantly to these sins are not Christians. So that's clear. But even the Christian will have a mix of grace and sin. And there'll be times when these things, we're faced with temptations toward these things. And we need to be conscious of it. We have lost sight of things. When we are going to God every day in prayer, and we are humbling ourselves, and we are repenting. The words of our Westminster Confession are to repent of particular sins, particularly. Right? That's the language of the confession. As we are repenting of our particular sins, particularly, before the Lord, we're being humbled by Him. We're also having great joy given to us. Right? David brings this out in Psalm 51. Where he's saying, "Create in me a clean heart and take not thy Holy Spirit from me," and so on. "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." So we are refreshed every day with a new sense of God's love and kindness in forgiving our sins. Well, a Christian who's habitual in their prayer life in this way is well positioned to deal with these bad fruit. You know, someone, our neighbor, or, you know, someone in the congregation or family member, they do something that's sinful against us, and they come to us and they ask for forgiveness. We who have been before the Lord, being forgiven for who knows how much, are going to be well positioned to mortify these sins and by the help of the Holy Spirit to express grace toward our brethren. And we're able to come to the Lord and say, "There's this gospel fruit. We're forgiving our brethren, and we're seeking your forgiveness as well. We're asking the Lord for these mercies." And we know that there are all sorts of ways to address those who are incorrigible. A soft answer turneth away wrath, and we should be engaged in that. We're conscious as well that the Lord has provided us with wisdom from heaven. Bitterness is something that dishonors God. But the Bible also says bitterness is something that destroys us. Destroys us physically as well as spiritually. So the way that one person has put it, it's often repeated, is bitterness is like taking poison ourselves and hoping that it kills the other person. Right? We're actually poisoning ourselves. And so this whole concept of forgiveness is built into the very fabric of the Christian life in our walk with the Lord and in our relationship with one another. The confession or the catechism says, "Because by his grace," God's grace, "we are enabled rather from the heart to forgive others." There's this gospel fruit. We are, in fact, in Christ. We are, in fact, depending upon Christ. We are, in fact, for Christ's sake, being pardoned. All of that fruit is there. We're coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, we love the brethren and we love you. Both of those things go together. We're forgiving the brethren even as we are seeking forgiveness from you. This changes our disposition. It creates within the Christian, one, humility before the Lord, a God consciousness in our walk before him, and also increases our gratitude and our joy and our delight in him, because of we are faced day by day with this fresh expression of mercy. Thy mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, look at how faithful you've been to your promises. Look how you're giving fresh mercy to me today. It creates within us the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. So the fifth petition is seeking God for our forgiveness, the forgiveness of our sins. Question 105, what do we pray for in the fifth petition? In the fifth petition, which is, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, we pray that God, for Christ's sake, would freely pardon all our sins, which we are the more rather encouraged to ask, because by his grace we are enabled from the heart to forgive others.